Bill, I just took a screen grab on my phone of an alert I got.
Yeah.
And
it
says this from BuzzFeed. There's now a new there's a trailer for the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and some fans are disturbed.
Oh.
So straight from the headlines, we go live to Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor. What is going on with Sonic?
I'm disturbed, too.
Oh, Bridget, it sounds like you've been crying.
Aw.
What's wrong?
You know, okay, Sonic was my first video game.
Yes.
But, you know, before I was, like, in kindergarten, you know, the Sega Genesis was my generation.
Sega!
And here I am watching this trailer going, what is this horrible thing? It's like doing a live action, first off, of this cartoon character. Like, it's got perfect human teeth and legs that are so long, way too long. And it just kind of makes you go, what am I looking at? So it starts off with him playing Gangster's Paradise. Everything feels like it came out of 1997, including, like, that feeling you got when you watched the original Super Mario Brothers movie with how bad it was.
Right.
Like, we've come so far to know what's a good movie and a bad movie. How did this get made? But that said, Jim Carrey is the bad guy, Dr. Robotnik. And so that might be the one redeeming thing of wanting to watch it. But I feel like it's for a generation of kids who didn't grow up with a Sonic game or any of the cartoons or the comics. It's like, oh, that Fast thing from Super Smash Brothers. Oh, it has a movie now. You know, like they might not really, you know, be connected to it. So they try to make him like an alien who comes down to Earth, which is not anything that makes sense. But then again, they're just trying to make sense out of nonsense, right? So I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if I should give it another chance, but that trailer
upsetting.
Just had a lot of cringe in it.
Are you going to be okay? Is everything all right?
You know, I did have kind of a Twitter meltdown a little bit.
Did
I will say that. And it actually, like, okay, total nerd card showing here. I actually have old comic books from when Sonic was a thing in the 90s.
Oh.
You know, and I pulled them out. So there is a silver lining here. I was like, oh, you made me go through my old childhood and think of the happier times.
Oh, good. Well, that's good news.
I liked it. And I'm like, oh, they're just, I don't know what this is today, but I'm like, at least I had some fun looking up my old Sonic stuff, you know?
My nephew, Colin, is in his 30s now, and he had to get the red Adidas with the white stripes so he could have shoes like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
If you loved Sonic,
cool.
You
That's
loved
cool.
Sonic.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're sorry you're going through this, Bridget, but brighter days ahead, I promise. Explain this story to me. It's a headline off of CNET. Scientists have found a way to convert thoughts into speech. That sounds awesome, but what does it mean?
Okay. So this is what it sounds like. If people are paralyzed, they cannot speak.
Yes.
And so obviously they're not going to be able to talk as fast when they're, you know, trying to communicate. Right now, our technology allows for like 10 words a minute by looking at where your eyes are looking on a keyboard to be able to type something out. But you and I speak, you know, with over 100 words in a minute. So researchers at the University of California were monitoring brain waves, looking at people who are looking at a sentence. And of course, they have to measure all these different things. Like we don't just move our lips, but our tongue and our larynx and all these things that are going on. So they kind of got close. By just looking at brain waves, they were able to make sound waves based on all the, you know, things firing off on how it wanted to move the mouth. If you hear it played, it kind of sounds like the words. It's a little muddied. Mm-hmm. It's not as clear as you and I, but we're getting really, really close to getting to restoring someone's natural rate of communication, you know, and improve their quality of life so they don't have to, so they can have a conversation just as fast as you or I. It's pretty fascinating stuff. If you want to look it up, they have a video, you know, so you can hear what it sounds like. After listening to it myself, this is very, very close. I don't know if I pick up every word without a visual clue of what was the sentence.
Yeah.
But every other word I can kind of get.
How does this differ from the device that the late Dr. Stephen Hawking used?
Yeah, that is like taking, that's like when a computer dictates, written text, right? You know, it sounds like the computer talking and in this case, I don't know exactly how he did it, but in this case, it's just really just looking at his at the brain waves of someone to see, all right, were they trying to move their tongue,
yeah,
their lips, what word were they trying to say? And that's a whole new angle at this problem, you know.
Great progress. Good.
All right. And Facebook in the news, they may have our email addresses. Even if you're not on Facebook, explain this.
Wow, this was such a mess of a story. So a lot of us have had Facebook for a while, but for a lot of people who are signed up for new accounts since May of 2016, if you wanted to sign up for a new account or maybe a business account or something, to verify your identity, it was asking for your email address and your email password, and then without permission, sucking up all the contacts of your email account.
And wait, who would give the password? I mean, I would have probably just said, well, then I'm not going to join Facebook. That seems weird.
Well, yeah, it's a major red flag, but it's incredible that, like, no one else was, like, at Facebook thinking that that was a bad thing. So what the whole sucking up the contact addresses of your email account was another mess. That they said they grabbed about 1.5 million email address, or rather from 1.5 million people, all of their contacts. So obviously people have more than one contact. It goes up from there. It's just a nutty story. Facebook says they don't do that anymore. But if you know someone, a relative, anyone who might have signed up for a new account, they, all their contacts are probably sucked into this, and they can, and there will be steps to take out all that information. And you can always check in your Facebook settings if Facebook is importing your contacts, whether it's your phone contacts, your email contacts. They do that. You can turn this off because, you know, this is how they recommend friends to you. You know, oh, don't you want to be friends with so and so?
Yeah.
How do they know that? Well, they know it because they suck up your contacts from your phone and all other sorts of ways. So that, we have instructions on CNET that you can go into settings under, you know, under privacy and make sure that they do not take your contacts. I turned this off to myself a while ago because it's creepy, but it's even worse that, you know, when you think of the layers of going into your email account contacts, it doesn't make it feel good about Facebook. They don't have any feel-good Facebook stories lately.
No. Go to CNET.com. She's Bridget Carey. You can look up how to get these email contacts changed. You go under privacy settings and privacy, and they'll walk you through it. Good luck with the new baby en route.
Thanks. Yeah, my due date is this weekend.
Wow.
Boil the water.
Now.
Are you still considering the name Sonic, or have you changed your mind on that?
Sonic or Tails. You know?
It's a great name.
Good luck to you, okay?
Good luck, Bridget.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, take care.
Have a good
Bridget
one.
Bridget Carey, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.